The Church Media Podcast, episode 154, Secrets to Dynamic Communication with Ken Davis, part two. Let's do it.
This is the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
Exclusive interviews and church media training from the best minds in ministry and Christian entertainment.
Useful, practical content in the areas of audio,
lighting,
video,
stage design,
volunteer culture, and more.
Broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Carl Barnhill.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I'm Carl. Before we get rolling this week, I want to make you aware of a brand new resource that we have on our website at 1230.media. We're introducing an all-new 24-hour church media training radio network. We're calling it 1230 Radio. It's a nonstop audio stream of the latest episodes of the Church Media Podcast, along with dozens of exclusive interviews that we've done on our blog and for social media. It's absolutely free church media training that you can have playing in your control room as you work or let your volunteer team listen to. Just visit 1230.media/radio to access the stream. 1230.media/radio. One more time, 1230.media/radio. It's completely free to check out. So 1230.media/radio. All right, today we continue with part two of our three-part series with Master Communicator Ken Davis. Ken is a well-sought-after speaker and teacher. He also teaches people how to speak to an audience. Through the SCORE conferences, workshops, books, and training material, Ken and his team have equipped thousands of pastors, speakers, and communicators all around the world. These episodes are perfect for pastors, teachers, and hosts that talk from the platform in your worship experience. Ken and I will be talking more today about how you can prepare your talk and deliver it more effectively. Part two of my interview with Ken Davis is coming right up.
And now, your church media tip of the week. Useful tips and tricks to help you transform the worship experiences at your church. Here's Carl Barnhill.
Hey guys, here's my church media tip for you this week as you're leading your production teams. Don't hide the fact that you're developing leaders. Make it known. Show them to the world. Encourage them to contribute. If you have an intern program at your church, this is a perfect avenue to develop young leaders and showcase their talent. Let them be a major voice in staff or team meetings. Let them lead teams. Let them speak and cast vision to your team. Let them be the face of your team. The older I get, the more it brings me more joy to see young leaders I've developed succeed more than me succeed myself. Maybe it's that I'm a dad of two kids, or maybe it's that I've been around church media and the ministry world for a while and don't feel a need to prove myself anymore. Whatever the case, I'm glad. We all want praise and admiration, but let's realize there can be more joy in showcasing someone's talent than our own sometimes.
Get more free coaching for your production team through our blog, podcast, and online resource library. Visit 1230.media/training today. This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Okay, so we've walked through the acronym SCORE. Let's kind of pull it all together now. Give us some tips on preparing an outline for a talk.
Okay. Well, the SCORE part is to determine your objective and the rationale that lead to it. So now you have a bit of an outline, what you want to accomplish, and the rationale that will lead to it. You know exactly how you're going to get there. Then you have to consider that those aren't the only aspects of a presentation. The other aspects of a presentation, the other parts of a presentation, are the first words out of your mouth. Very important. What we call the opening. And the first words out of your mouth will sometimes determine whether many of the people sitting out there will want to listen to whatever this main message you're going to give is going to be. So if you're giving a enabling message, you're showing people how to, let's use a message that's outside of a sermon, because we haven't used many of those yet. How to prevent, how to help prevent suicide. Well, that's an interesting subject. But if you were to open that message by having the first words out of your mouth be something like, and I'm not using actual statistics here, every 30 seconds, someone in the United States attempts to take their life. Last year, and you give the number of the horrific number of the people who ended their life in the United States and the number of people who tried and failed. In our own city, in our own community, right here, sitting in this room, there are families who have gone through the unspeakable grief of losing someone to suicide. And the question that comes to our mind is, what can we do about it? We feel helpless. Is there anything we can do? And I'm here today to tell you, yes, there is. So what you've done here is give a bit of a persuasive message that it's important to listen to the message you're going to deliver about those steps you can take that may save a life. In delivering a persuasive message, when you come to the end of the message, what happens so many times is you give another message. A persuasive message should be considered this way. If people have decided to believe what I have said, what is the way they can respond? For some churches, that means a step to the altar. For some churches, that means to consider membership. Depending on what the message was, you give them some way to respond. The conclusion of a message also might simply require a very quick review of what the objective was and the rationale that led to it. It might be a story that perfectly illustrates how what it is that you have asked people to do or what it is you've enabled them to do has changed lives. But so those are the different parts of that. And we encourage people to be oiful communicators. And those are communicators that have practiced every speech they give on your feet out loud. Mm. Carl, I would love to write a book about the things that have come out of the mouths of pastors and youth pastors.
Ain't that the truth?
They never intended to come out.
Ain't that the truth? There's some wild YouTube videos that illustrate that well.
Oh, my God. And I'm telling you that every one of those would have been eliminated if the person had practiced out loud and realized that this little tongue twister was going to make them stumble. And either they would have slowed down at that point so they could have moved forward, or they could have avoided it altogether. There are things you can write to say that you can't say. It just doesn't work. Your tongue won't do it. And there are things that you can write to say that when you say it out loud, you realize this needs to be reframed, framed. Mm-hmm. Like I just said, reframe it, mm-hmm. burn it.
See, if you would have practiced before we started interviewing, that reframe would have been reframed. See, that's how that works. All right, let's get into timing. And I think timing is a big key. We work with a lot of churches that are in a multi-site environment and also have multiple services on a Sunday. And so I think this piece can really apply to pastors and how to kind of time out their message. So do you have any tips to make sure we're accurately planning our time?
You mean the amount of time allowed for a particular message?
Right. So, for instance, like in your book, you walk out an outline, and then you put 3 minutes on this.
Absolutely.
2 minutes on this. Walk me through
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I just wanted to be sure what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Yes, this is part of the practice idea. You have an opening story. Know how long that takes. Just this little hint that I'm giving here transforms people's communication.
Yeah.
Do it out loud. Know how long it takes. That story takes 3 minutes. There's a transition. In our opening, we talk about a transition. There's the introduction, which involves whatever your story is, whatever it is that you're going to say that makes people want to hear what the heart of your message is. Then a transition, which in most of the transitions, you get right down to it. This is how, these are the steps we can take to help save some lives. These are the steps we can take that will show our neighbors that Christianity just isn't people beating drums about what they're against. It's about love. And that's the transition, and you go into your message. And you know how long each of your rationale will last. If there's a story that illustrates that rationale, you know how long that will last. And so when you finish your outline, you know how long your closing will last. You add it all together, and you've got the number. That's how long your last. And then you do one more thing. You subtract at least 5 minutes from that.
Mm. Knowing that some pieces are going to go longer?
Automatically.
Yeah.
Automatically, no matter what you planned, when you stand up to do, there's a thought that will come to your mind. There's a story that will come to your mind. Every message grows, every single one. So prepare for it ahead of time.
Good.
Here's the other great little secret I discovered probably just 2 years ago. I have a countdown clock. You don't look at your watch. You don't look at the clock in the back. You have a countdown clock that allows you, as you go, to realize, I'm getting close to the end. I'm not going to make it. I need to trim. And what that means is you don't take as long as you took to tell a certain story. And you can come out within a minute or so of the final time if you have a countdown, if you have a countdown clock. And I have a big one. It's monstrous.
Yeah, and a lot of church media guys listening to this, they know exactly, in ProPresenter, countdown clocks are available. You can put them on the stage display so that the speaker can see them right in front of them. All right, so let's wrap our...
Yeah, put it behind the speaker so that the audience can see it. And at 1 minute, they start counting down 60, 59.
5, 4, 3.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, let's wrap our preparation discussion up with this. So what are some valuable ways, I thought this was very interesting, to file and retrieve illustrations for our talk? Is that a filing cabinet? Is it mentally? Is it both? How do you file and retrieve those?
Yeah, I used to have a huge file cabinet full, but now it's just a matter of speaking into my phone, which changes it into text, which I can quickly move to files on my computer that I can find anytime. I have files on marriage, I have files on addiction, I have files on humor, I have files of illustrations, and I have actually subdivided the files on illustrations into aspects of worship, whatever it might be. But even if I can only remember a few words of a quote or whatever it might be, I can usually narrow it down and have that before me in just a second. But even more importantly than having a file is knowing how to find the items to put in it. We train our speakers to walk with their eyes open. Mm. The greatest illustrations you will ever find are not in a book, 1001 Great Illustrations. Those usually end up feeling old and dusty. And the greatest illustrations you will observe happening around you on a daily basis if you open your eyes. I'm in a store, a Target, or someplace like that, and I watch a mom jerking her child through the aisles going, "You will never amount to anything. You're just like your father." And I think that mother is absolutely predicting the future of that child with what she's saying. Here's what happens. If I don't write it down, that will disappear from my memory like fog on a hot day.
Mm.
It's gone. You have to, and when I say write it down, record it. I take out my phone. Record those moments. Record those ideas. Get them down because they evaporate. They're gone. And record them in detail. I can't tell you how many times, one of the reasons I use my phone, I would scribble something on a piece of paper and not be able to read it later. I woke up one night having a dream, and I thought, that is the most powerful illustration I've ever had. And so I reached over and grabbed a pad and scribbled something on the pad. And the next morning, I woke up again in the morning, and I thought, oh, man, I remember that illustration. Written on the pad was this word, chicken. To this day, I have no idea what that was all about. Record it in enough detail so you remember it. Anything, you say, what do you look for? Anything that moves you emotionally probably has the potential to be a good illustration. I'm a pilot. You have to do a pre-flight. I walked around my plane looking at everything that you're supposed to look at, got in my plane and started it, and as I started it, it was very rough. Taxiing was very rough. And so I shut the engine down, got out. The front tire was flat, and I had a tail dragger, so there's a wheel at the back. Still had a handle and a bar attached to it. So I had walked around the plane, but I had not seen what was there. Walk with your eyes open.
Good. I think a good note here, I was just, when you were saying your Target story, I can just imagine you in the middle of Target pulling your phone out in front of the mom, recording the illustration. So maybe a good note is to wait till you get to your car before you take notes. Take note of that.
Actually, I moved up right next to her and said into my phone, this is a bad mom.
Yeah. Right in the middle of Walmart, right in earshot. There you go. All right.
I wanted to say to the little boy, you're going to be great.
Yeah.
You're going to be a great kid.
Yeah. Man, that's good. That's a good word, man. And there's two kind of sections that I want to kind of skip through pretty quickly in the time that we have left together, and that is delivery and application. So let's kind of move to delivery a little bit. What are some ways to maybe plan with our audience in mind, or maybe walk me through involving the audience in our thinking and our writing and our action?
In terms of delivery, we can't forget that dynamics are important. It absolutely amazes me to watch our students stand in the hall before our conference has begun and talk to each other, their faces animated, their gestures appropriate, and then stand in front to deliver a presentation and become diminished or suddenly take on a persona that isn't theirs.
It just absolutely
amazes me. When we determined that focus was the most important part, we didn't eliminate the fact of dynamics. We just came to realize that dynamics minus some kind of purpose is nothing more than entertainment. And there are times when that's important. There's times when that is the objective. As a comedian, I've many times called to entertain. But when you step into the platform, unless your face, unless your movements enhance your message, they distract from your message. I have watched presentations where the presenter paces back and forth, never stops, back and forth. We tell people, find a place to stand and stand there. That's what a pulpit is for, to keep you from looking like a caged lion. Stand there, deliver, and then move with purpose. We tell people that if you don't look at individuals, and this answers a question you asked a little while ago, how do you keep the audience in mind? Look at them. Establish eye contact. Well, we have 2,000 people. Then find one.
Yeah.
when you look at someone two-thirds of the way back in a 2,000-foot auditorium, 30 people around them think you're looking at them. But if you just scan back and forth with your eyes and never settle on anybody, never talk to anyone, it becomes a canned performance. It feels like a canned performance. And so the dynamics of communication are very, very important. A communicator has to have enough courage, and this is why I love the people who come to our conferences. Some of them are extremely successful, highly paid professionals who are not satisfied with mediocrity, who are willing to say, I haven't arrived yet. And for them to suddenly realize, and I'm not going to tell you any names, but I've had one of these people who signed up to do personal coaching with me. I was absolutely blown away, but totally teachable, helping him understand, you never look at a soul. Yes, but we have television cameras there. Then look at the television camera, exactly. Because that's going to show your image on the screens looking at people. But then step away so that the television camera can show that you're caring about people other than the people just watching at home. Hmm. Know where the camera is and include them in. That's how you keep your audience in mind. You look at them. What if there's lights and I can't see anybody? Picture your mom. Picture your brother. Picture a friend. Focus on that one spot. You can't see them. They can see you. They can see you. And there will be 15, 20 people around them who believe that you're talking directly to them. And another 1,000 that believe you care enough to talk to individuals.
Good. That's good, man.
Sorry, I get a little passionate about this.
That is so true, especially, and I know I kind of bring us back from a media perspective some too and worship experiences because we run cameras and we do this Sunday after Sunday, and to have the communicators on stage do that and find the camera, I mean, it's obvious when the red light's on, that's the camera that's live. So to find that camera... you're talking right to the person there, and then, like you said, look away and find somebody else too. Let them know that you care. That's so key. Such a good word.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Have you ever sat through a speech, a sermon, a corporate presentation, or even a sales meeting where the message was disjointed, jumbled, or boring? Your mind wanders, and so does everybody else's. We've all been there, but that doesn't have to be the experience of your audience. There is an effective way to focus your message, to deliver it with confidence, and to speak with power, while dramatically reducing your preparation time. What if you could master a time-proven method to help you communicate more effectively and ensure that your audience takes away exactly what you intended? Ken Davis says you can communicate with that kind of effectiveness. For more than 30 years, Ken has taught thousands of people to communicate more effectively and efficiently using his 6-point score method. And now, he has joined forces with Dynamic Communicators International to bring you the SCORE Conference. SCORE will help you prepare with focus, deliver with confidence, spend less time in preparation, and speak with power. So whether you are a professional speaker, an executive leader, a pastor, a teacher, or anyone who just wants to communicate more effectively through writing or speaking, the SCORE Conference will make a difference for your audience and for you. As you learn to score your messages, you will become a more confident and effective communicator. Best of all, you will learn a preparation method that is proven, reliable, and repeatable. Don't delay. Register today and invest in your future. You owe it to your audience.
For additional resources for you and your team, including links to Ken's books, how you can register for this year's SCORE Conference, and more, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com. You can click on episode number 154 for the show notes for this episode.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, we'll wrap our three-part series with Ken Davis. We'll end our conversation talking about how to craft the delivery of your talk. Again, these three episodes contain a big chunk of Ken's material that he teaches at conferences and workshops around the country, and you're getting it for free. So it's extremely gracious of Ken to share his time and his content with us. Thank you for listening to the show. We are one of the top church tech podcasts in the nation, and be sure to rate and review our show on iTunes if you would. It helps us rank higher in the iTunes database, and it gets this content out to more and more churches around the world, so do that for us if you would. And go out there, guys, and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
The Church Media Podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media and produced by David Michael Hyde. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com.